Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Monday, everyone. Great to be with you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones. Looking forward to another fun week. Because fun's my middle name. Maybe not.
No, I'll let it go.
My parents would have said otherwise.
No, I don't think Fun would be your middle name. It might be a nickname every now and then.
Oh, come on, I'm a fun guy.
What the heck? That's what I said. It might be a nickname every now and then.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Yourself?
How did TV go for you?
I could have been better, but I was okay. I'm very picky.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a perfectionist. Don't let it get to you, though, too much. I mean, just try to improve on whatever you think you'll improve on, but don't get yourself too tied up in a knot over it. How about that?
Me? Get excited and tied up in a knot?
No, but you know what I'm saying. You know, it's... No, it's just, anyway, it's okay to be picky about certain things, but I also think that it's very important for you, for example, that when you evaluate what you do, okay, you have to do two things. Number one, all right, okay, make sure you want to correct what you think you should be better at. Okay, that's fine. Number two, though, keep in mind all the things you did right and build upon it. It's what I tell the students in my class all the time. In fact, they handed in projects today. I was listening to the projects all morning. And listening to the projects this morning is the same thing, same way of going about it with them, was to talk to them about, okay, you know, think about trying it this way, tweak it this way, put a little more energy into the report. You know, a lot of it deals sometimes with energy and so forth. But then I'd say to them, okay, now here's what you did right, X, Y, Z. No, it's keep doing this, keep doing that. You're on the right track. And you want to make sure that they know that along the way. So that would be my advice to you.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. That's the important part. And had a lot of fun
Look, that's the best part. Hey, this isn't a participation trophy thing. This is business.
I had a lot of fun, and they asked me to do it again, so it must not have been terrible anyway.
That's good. I think that's great. Now, is it high school basketball you're doing? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Let's see. We have the Lewisburg-Shamokin girls quarterfinal in Class AAA coming up on Thursday night.
That's great. I like it. Games with stakes, that's great. And I think it's great that they're televising. It's great for the girls, for example, that game is being televised, and people get a chance to see them play. And I assume these games are replayed, too.
Yeah, they're replay games, actually. Yeah.
Right, and they'll give them a chance for them to then see it later. And I think that's great, and it's a big thrill for them.
Yeah, it's great
for the fans.
Yeah, you don't see much in the way of high school girls basketball coverage in general. So it's really nice when they have an opportunity to, well, like you said, you know, everybody gets a chance to see it. The family gets a chance to see it. And, you know, they make copies, too, for those who want it. So it's something for the seniors to keep forever.
But it's also great for people who didn't get a chance to go to the game to see it. And that's, you know, I think that all the way around, it's a win-win for everybody. I'm glad they're doing it. Okay, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Kevin Herr memo of the day.
Oh, before you get to that, though, I want to make mention, if you have not yet found it, on WKOK's Facebook page is the complete District 4 girls and boys brackets. It's not in bracket form, but it's the postseason tournament. So you can see the matchups, when they're going to happen, you know, the play-in games and everything. So that's on our Facebook page on WKOK. You can check that out.
For what, 2016, 2018?
No, this is for the 2015-16 season, believe it or not. It's not a prediction. This is an actual.
Oh, because normally you're usually months and maybe a year ahead.
I do have a tendency to predict, but the predictions have been so bad, I've given up.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, that's the one thing about predictions. We talk about, you know, taking all analytics and things like that. I found I can't predict anything anymore. Jack and I and Joe Putnam do that prediction segment.
Yeah,
every
I know, and it's so awkward. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh no! It's not. Actually, you're wrong about that part. You're wrong about that.
Well, I know you don't like to predict things. That's what I mean.
No. I have no problem doing that. We have a lot of fun with it. But if you notice, every time we do it, I'll make fun of the whole thing
yes.
to start with about how bad we are at it.
Right?
And that's just having fun with it. That's not being awkward about it. Because, you know, we're supposed to be all these big experts about what's going on, and we're just throwing darts like everybody else, guessing who's going to win the games. That's why, hey, all right, got 2 out of 3. Putnam's usually pretty good, and then Joe hit a slump during the season. And at one point, I think I caught him, then slightly passed him, then I slumped, and he passed me out. And Jack was in a slump all season. I think it finally ended up with Joe won by 2 games over me, and Jack was a game back of here. But none of us were sitting there. We get 3 games a week. If anybody goes 3 for 3, hey, great.
See,
so then by a 2-to-1 vote, Jack and I put in this rule that the winner of the contest had to buy beverages for the rest of us.
See, and Joe analyzes it deeply. I mean, I was listening to one of his, and he's going in. And I'm like, wow, that's good stuff, man.
He does. Jack and I never even know what the games are when they come to us.
It comes to Steve, and Jack's
know.
Like, I like Clemson. Why is that? I don't know.
Well, the two of us, for whatever reason, we never know until the segment comes up which games they are. Here are the 3 games this week. Joe, see, I guess Joe knows the games.
I was
going to
say, this sounds like a conspiracy.
No, we don't think it's a conspiracy. But neither one of us knows. We're like, okay, Clemson's playing, okay, the Clemson-South Carolina game? Clemson, sure. Thank goodness we're not using point spreads. We'd be cooked. For the big sports expert, hey, we can't predict anything. What are you talking about? Now, it comes to analyzing the game, giving you some information, what's going on. Okay, I think we fulfill and check all the boxes when it comes to that. When it comes to predicting USC and UCLA, we're guessing as much as you are, okay? Oh,
I was lucky on Saturday. I actually got the right seating for the Shikellamy boys team. Even though I wasn't I went with 2 teams who they may play in the district playoffs, but I definitely got the date right. So I look at it this way. I went 2 for 3. That's a great day for me.
There you go. Good. Let's see. Nathan Davis on the show today. And then we'll go from there. Talk to him about Bucknell looking to bounce back. They've lost 2 in a row, but still maintain a 1-game lead in the Patriot right now. Quick slice of information. Penn State is wrestling Oklahoma State for the National Dual Championship in Rec Hall Sunday night at 5.
Have they already sold out yet?
Oh, it was sold out. It's been part of the package all year,
oh, okay.
So it's sold out.
It's
BTM will
gotcha.
Carry it live. BTM will carry it live, which is fine. I mean, it'll be another one of those, you know. It might be closer than some of the other ones. We'll see.
The other night, it was not one of those close ones.
Well, no, neither one of them was.
You were right.
Neither one of them was. I mean, I'm sorry. It just, you know, you've got better talent than everybody else. I have no offense, you've got better talent. Penn State's got better talent than everybody else. and you're in a state that has a depth of high school wrestling talent across the board, and Penn State does a great job of getting the best wrestlers, whether it's here, Ohio. I mean, a kid like Morgan McIntosh, he came in from California, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's the power that of Cale's name and his reputation, and he, you know, a lot of people want to wrestle for him, and Penn State's reaping the benefits of that at this particular stage, and which is great. It's great for wrestling fans in this area. And they'll have Oklahoma State here on Sunday night. It's you don't have a lot going on this weekend home wise. You'll have hockey home Friday and Saturday with Ohio State, and you've got wrestling at 5 o'clock because this is Thon weekend. So the Jordan Center is locked up this weekend for Thon, and I think it's at least great that the wrestling match, I think, is at 5, which is after Thon is over. Thon ends at, I think, I want to say 4 o'clock on Sunday, I think. It's 46 hours, so. And I think it starts at 6 o'clock on Friday. I think that sounds right. If somebody knows the exact time better than I do, just call in and tell us. That way we have it right. But you're going to raise $10 to $15 million for pediatric cancer research. And again, that's one of the problems, for example, not a problem, but it's scheduling-wise for Penn State, it becomes, it's something they've got to work around. The Big Ten has to work around this because Penn State does not have the building this weekend. And every year they sat down years ago to Chalice and Coquise Washington with Graham Spanier, and he said, look, we're going to do this. We're going to move it from Rec Hall over to the Jordan Center. So we're going to tell the Big Ten that we're giving up this weekend no matter what, and you can't schedule any games this weekend. And the two coaches, obviously, they know the importance of it, so they said yeah to it. So that's why, for example, Penn State doesn't get back-to-back home games till the very end. I mean, that's part of the problem they've had. They've played 12 conference games so far. They've had 4 games in the Jordan Center out of 12. 4. I mean, they've only played 1/3 of their games in their building so far this year. And that's a big imbalance. And I think that's hurt them getting any kind of momentum in the season because they've had to go on the road so many times and have never been able to build off of something. But that's this weekend. Now, Kevin's got his big memo today. We'll hit on one thing very quickly. In the 196-173 game in the NBA All-Star game, was it worth watching? No.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Do you realize that the only All-Star game where any defense is played is a Major League Baseball All-Star game?
Yeah, hockey was kind of that way, too. You're right.
They're all like that. I mean, hockey was actually better this time. The last game ended up being the 3-on-3, ended up being 1-0. Most all-star games in hockey, and the final score, 15-11.
Yeah, I remember that.
Pierre McGuire. Right. Sure, it's like that every year. Yeah, there's no defense played. They're not trying to get anybody hurt. It was a waste of time. Most all-star games have become a waste of time. And everybody knows how I feel about that. I think it's nice to get together and the whole thing. Some of the skills contest stuff is fine. But, for example, if I'm a Major League Baseball general manager, I don't want any of my players in the home run hitting contest, and I don't want them pitching in the game. I don't want them in either one.
How many times have you heard about players being in the home run contest and complaining that their swing is messed up for the rest of the second half?
Yeah, a lot. All the time. Basketball, I don't mind if my guys are in the three-point shooting contest. I don't mind if they're in the rookie game. I don't want them in the slam dunk contest doing crazy stuff. I'm going to leap over a car. Oh, my God. You're going to do what?
Slam dunk contest is boring now.
Yeah, I don't watch it even anymore.
I mean, it used to be the highlight, yeah. Steve. I mean, not anymore.
And then in the fourth quarter of the Pro Bowl this year was pass thud. If you want to know what the definition of pass thud is, well, no, I'm not sure. That's not a joke.
I didn't know that, but I was watching a bit of it. I didn't realize it.
I mean, if you want to know what the definition of pass thud is, whenever I reference it on the show, because there isn't a single person that listens to this show knows really what pass thud is. I mean, because you don't go to practice. You don't see it, okay? But it is the process of waist up, okay? Proper tactical technique, boom, hit, wrap up, let go. Well, that's what you saw in the Pro Bowl in the fourth quarter. Right?
I mean, I did notice that, but I didn't. It didn't dawn on me what it was.
You do not take people to the ground. You don't take them to the ground and pass thud. And that's a standard. Everybody's done it for years. Joe did it. It's like, you know, everybody acted like when Bill O'Brien did it. It was like some new technique he came up with. I'm looking around the room going, the heck are you talking about? New? What the heck? What? It's been done. It was always interesting listening to Joe, when he do pass thud for the first time in a preseason practice. He'd always gather the team around and explain it. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Stay off the ground. Okay. And, all right. We're going to take a break because I want to get to the Manning thing, but I'm going to need more time to do it. Because Howard Bryant of ESPN, their senior writer, wrote something about Manning versus Newton today in terms of each one being publicized. And while he makes some interesting points, he kind of misses the mark on one area. And it's not missing the mark. It's just more of a common sense thing from covering it. And I wanted to get into that. But we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Insurance has served this valley for decades. They've been able to insure the good people of the valley for decades because they've been able to get them the best price, the best insurance, the right insurance. And when it comes time for a claim, they're all over it. They take care of it and get to it as quickly as possible. And they can cover you in a wide variety of ways. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We bring in the fine basketball coach at Bucknell, Nathan Davis. Coach, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Nathan, thank you for being with us. You'd gone four consecutive games where you had not given up more than 67 points in a game. The last two, the numbers have been 80 and 91. What have you seen? Oh, the other guy does something right, but what have you seen that needs to be better for you?
I wish I could limit it to just one thing. It would make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, sure it would. Yeah.
It starts with when we close out to guys on the perimeter, we're not doing a very good job. We don't have active feet, so we're getting beat too easily off the dribble. We're not doing a particularly good job playing angles and cutting guys off. And then the guys that aren't guarding the ball aren't getting in position when the ball's in the air, so they're late, and we're not protecting the rim. And so that's leading us to fouls, layups, and open threes, which is a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And Colgate shot, I think, what, 60%? For the game, yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood against you. Offensively, you're putting up points. That's not the issue. I mean, you put up 81 in the game the other day. Sometimes your offense can balance your defense off. Are you doing enough offensively between clock and shot that helps the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, we go in the game against Colgate, we shoot 49% from the floor, we shoot 48 from three. Right. We make more free throws than they take. Our turnovers are down. You should win that game.
Exactly.
You should win that game. It all came down to what's going on in the defensive end.
I'm looking at the numbers from the game Saturday night after I was done with the Nebraska game. I'm looking at the numbers of the game. I'm saying, okay, how did they not win? Because turnovers, rebounding, I mean, you name it, you did a lot of things really well in that game.
Yeah, I wish I could say it was more complicated than this, but we just have to defend better. We lost some of our focus at that end. We had poor attention to detail. We didn't execute, and you do that, you give up a lot of good shots. And you can say what you want, but basketball at the end of the day is a make-or-miss game. People talk about defense wins championships, and it certainly does. But when you get two good teams coming together, it comes down to who can get the most good shots, and our defense has been to a point where we haven't forced people to take tough shots at all. And even though we're getting good shots, you can't overcome that.
All right, exactly. As you move forward, we're 2 weeks past February 1st. Now, you have, for the most part, guys that have been around this block before. Any thought at all that a couple of them have hit the mythical February 1st line and they're trying to fight through it right now?
I don't know. I mean, anything is certainly possible. The reality is it's angered, that might be the right word, or frustrated at times we have been the last week or so with the way we've played, especially defensively. We still sit in first place. We control
That's
everything
right.
in front of us. So you got to keep that back in mind. But you got to understand that you've got to have a certain urgency. You got to have a certain passion for what you're doing, and you got to play well. And we haven't been playing as well as we're capable of. Hopefully that's because we're saving it for Wednesday and moving forward. But there's things, like I said, all along we need to work on. They're obvious, and we just got to get better at them. We can't stand still. We can't be okay with being in first place and think it's going to work itself out. We've got to get back in there. We haven't played well. We've got to get back in there. We've got to work harder.
Yeah, right now it's a one-game lead at this stage. I think it was Navy and BU are the teams right behind you, and you got both of them down the road. You still have to play each of them, including one coming up in Boston University at home. When you look at this stage, and you're looking at practice, do you want to start to see a killer instinct now start to emerge because you got four games left in the regular season?
There's no doubt about that. And I think honestly, the weirdest thing that took place in the last week is I actually thought we practiced really well going into both games for 2 days each, and it didn't carry over to game day. And that's usually the opposite. Usually you play like you practice, and we did not do that for whatever reason. So we got to look a little bit at what we're doing on game day to get ourselves ready and that type of thing. But, yeah, you want to see killer Knicks. You just want to see a sort of attention to detail, and almost like what Coach Marshall or Greg Marshall at Wichita State, you need to play angry at times, and we got to get back to doing that.
Yeah, and they've done that, and they just had their home court streak snapped by Northern Iowa the other day. Now, you've got Loyola coming in. That'll be first things first. So if you start in on the scouts second time through with them, you play them back on January 20th, what are a couple things in the checklist based on that game and what you've seen recently you'll have to take care of?
Well, the biggest things we play Loyola is they're different than a Colgate or a Lehigh, a Lafayette, right, where those teams surround people with really good shooters. Loyola hasn't shot the ball well this year. They've not been a good three-point shooting team. It's about stopping penetration. It's about defending the post. They're a more aggressive defensive team than most of the teams in the league, so they're a little different in that respect, and they're going to try and turn you over. So we got to do a good job with ball reversal. We got to do a good job getting open, making good, clean passes so we can get it going side to side. So that's the biggest thing, is they're just a little different than what you see on a daily basis in the league.
Obviously, you won't be back with us until next Monday, but these will be the final two regular season home games for your seniors, thus Senior Day is coming up. in your first season as the head coach at Bucknell, what has this senior class meant to you and the program?
Well, I think the thing, and it's often overlooked, I haven't been through it before, is whenever there's a coaching change, it's a lot of stress on guys, especially on the seniors. And they got to be the ones that are with you, that buy in, that support you, that keep the other guys in line. And I think our guys have done that. And so I've been very appreciative of the attitude they brought every day and the way they've accepted myself and the staff and what we're trying to do.
You talked about coming down the stretch. I want to talk offensively for a moment. Are you still getting to the right spots on the floor, getting yourself the open shots that you want, the feel that you need to have offensively? Do you like that part right now?
I mean, I think we have. I think, I mean, you still look at our percentages and the way we're scoring. We've been getting good shots. Like, I think anyone, there's always, whether you're playing slow or fast, there's always 3, 4, 5 possessions in a game where you look like you could have probably got a better shot than that with a little more patience or a little better execution. And that's certainly the case. And there's things with spacing and post-feeding and things like that and screening and all that we still need to work on. So it's all right there. The good thing is everything that we need to get better at, something we control. We're not looking out there going, we can't do this or we can't do that. We're trying to ask them to do something they can't do. It's something they're all stuff we're capable of doing. We just got to continue to work to do it and do it better consistently.
How anxious are you to watch the reaction of your team on Wednesday night?
I'm anxious to watch the reaction of our team at 5 o'clock today when we practice
yeah.
for the first time. that's first. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see. I mean, it'd be great after the way we played last week to see. I'd like to think we're going to come out with some extra incentive, a little more purpose, a little more anger, and understand that with all that said, that we've got a big challenge. Loyola's come in. We had a really difficult game with them down there. They're physical. They're big. They're athletic. And we got to work it out for us. We're going to have to do a lot of good things to win, and we got to embrace the fact that it's going to be hard and look forward to that challenge.
Yeah. You want to know why I asked that question in that way?
Sure.
Because you told me they practiced really well going into the last game. That's why I mentioned the game.
That's a good way to go about
practice
it. I'm going old school and not giving up on the idea that you typically that you play like you practice and think we're going to turn around. Yeah, I'd rather go in with two good practices than the two bad ones and wonder what's going to happen.
Well, you got that right. You go in with two bad practices and you're standing on the sideline like, oh, how is this going to go tonight? Chris Haas, mark guy every single game. How much do you admire his ability to just keep scoring points, the fact that he's going to be the number one guy on that whiteboard when they put it down on the other side?
He's very confident. You got to have that when you're a scorer. You're going to draw the number one defender every time. You're going to be the first guy they talk about how they're going to guard, how they're going to stop. And so that's a mental and a physical challenge. To be able to stick with it and to not force things. And I think one of the best things he's done this year is he hasn't forced many shots. He's played within the offense. He's played within himself. And so at times it's made it easier for him because other guys have stepped up and scored and gotten and lessened the load on him a little bit.
For you, in this transition of taking over this team, now we're really deep into the season, what were a couple of the easier parts of the transition for you? And where were a couple of parts where it just took a little bit in the transition for you working with these guys?
Well, I think the easiest part was just having a familiarity from here before and understanding what they go through on a daily basis, what the school's like, what the social life is like, and all that stuff. I didn't have to spend as much time learning that aspect of it. The most difficult part is just getting to know them and know their personalities and know how to push their buttons and what do they respond to and those type of things have really been the most challenging thing. And I think like with any team, it's something you're always still working on, and we're getting better. We're still not perfect yet, but we're getting better. We're getting closer.
And then the next part is the next two games will be at Soica. What do you think the home crowd has meant to your players this year?
I think anytime we have a good crowd and supportive, it helps lift our guys up. They play. I wish it wasn't the case, but it's only human nature. Is when fans are jumping up and down and screaming and yelling, guys play with more energy. It's just the way it goes. You'd like it to be, wouldn't matter if there was 4,000 people or one person, they play the same way, but when they have energy, it really helps them. When they're struggling and they get behind them, it can help them get out of some tough times. So crowd's very important. There's a big reason why six men everywhere is so cherished.
Absolute best of luck to you. Appreciate the time as always. Wednesday and Sunday will be the games. Good luck. Look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
All right. Nathan Davis, head basketball coach of Bucknell. They've got Loyola on Wednesday night. They've got BU coming up on Sunday over at Soica. We're looking forward to both. It's 7 o'clock on Wednesday and it's noon on Sunday. We'll come back with this day in sports history in a moment.
then Matt Leon, and more of the Kevin Herr Memo of the Day. Is that a promo point? On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back to Stay in Sports History. Next half hour, Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll talk about the Eagles, the Flyers, and also college basketball. A little bit later in the show, we'll get into the Peyton Manning situation at the University of Tennessee from an allegation 20 years ago, which is, by the way, not, I mean, I first heard about it back in 2003. Read enough about it at that point. So I was interested to see it resurface as part of an overall lawsuit against Tennessee. We'll talk about that in a moment. This day in sports history. 1953, the first American to win the women's figure skating championship, 17-year-old Tenley Albright. 1953. 1962, CBS-TV bought the exclusive rights to college football games from the NCAA for a figure of $10.2 million. 1965, NFL teams pledged not to sign college seniors until they had completed all their games, including bowl games. In other words, none of this let's go sign Billy Cannon under the goalpost at the Sugar Bowl stuff. 1974, Phil Esposito of the Bruins, his 1,000th career NHL point. 1975, Yvon Cornoyer of the Canadiens scored 5 goals, 2 assists against the Blackhawks. Wayne Gretzky, 1980, tied an NHL record with 7 assists in a game against the Washington Capitals. The tie-breaking procedure in the NCAA football passed the Rules Committee this date, 1996, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. won the Daytona 500 for the first time in his career in his 20th attempt. Kevin is driving a great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week, and it's not just a 16, boys and girls. Kevin is in a 17 in this February 2016.
Yeah, it actually has a lot of tech gear that is just up my alley. As a matter of fact, the Apple app that basically plugs into your car now and shows your complete phone system on the screen. So now navigation doesn't mean you have to wear down your battery on your phone. You actually have the map right on the screen from your phone. You also have majority of your apps available. Now that's for Apple or Android with the 2017 Hyundai Elantra. So not only are you going to get the standard 8-inch screen, which is the bigger screen with the backup camera, but you also have the ability to integrate your phone, whether it's an Android or an Apple, right into the system. With also with options like lane assist available and being able to have heated cloth seats, not necessarily have to get leather to get the heated seats in this vehicle. They've changed it around a little bit, gave it a sportier look, lifted it a little bit higher off the ground so it's a little more comfortable to get it in and out of. Check out the 2017 Hyundai Elantra just off the truck at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. We'll have more on it throughout the week. Plus, I'll give you an in-depth view of some of the new tech on Periscope later this week.
Still a little bit too obsessed with the with your seat.
Well, listen, the last few days, it's been nice to be toasty.
I don't think we want to know how toasty your seat is.
I think right. Everybody wants the option to have a toasty seat.
I think it's great if people have seats in the vehicle that are warm, but we don't want to know about your personal toasty seat. All right.
I'll tell you, the tech in this is really fun. It has been fun to mess around with, to have all the apps integrated onto your screen. That's really cool. Navigation usually is a necessity to get the 8-inch screen. With this vehicle, you don't have to have it. So that saves you a few bucks right there.
I usually look at a map first. Helps me. All right.
I'm sure it does.
I'm glad this has apps. You still have to drive the car.
Well, I didn't say, I didn't say it was an automatic car. I said the Apple Car app comes with it.
I know. I said, I bet it drives like a dream is what I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You do have to drive it, though.
Right.
Three modes, normal, sport, and eco mode, too. So it depends on what kind of mood you're in.
I'm not touching that. All right.
I'm always in sport mode.
1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. We'd like to hear from you. Villanova's number one in college basketball this week. I don't think anybody... That was one of Kevin's talking points. Nobody knows who's number one. There is no dominant team. You know, I don't know if that makes the tournament more attractive, that it's so wide open, less attractive because there's no dominant team to go after. I mean, Kentucky was the dominant team last year, and then they were taken down by Wisconsin in the national semifinals. And sometimes having that dominant team means something, but then you've got women's basketball with UConn, and then UConn is so good. This is no offense to UConn. I mean, you're supposed to do the best you can to be the best you can be, and they do that. But, you know, in the big picture, is it bad for the sport that they're that good? And I'm wondering a little bit about Penn State wrestling. It's awesome to be a Penn State wrestling fan right now. Overall, is it good for the sport? Maybe. I don't know. I have no answer to that. No, none. No answer to it at all. It's just posing a question. You may call in at 800-795-9565. You may tell me it's the most awesome thing in the world, and I wouldn't disagree with you at all. I'd just listen to what you have to say, and, you know, and then maybe ask a couple of devil's advocate questions. Sometimes I think when people call on the show and I'll ask a couple of devil's advocate questions, I don't think they realize I'm playing devil's advocate here to get a little bit more out of you.
I'll tell you what, I think this is going to be, anybody that has the perfect bracket deserves the money this year. I think this has got to be one of the toughest years to try and predict any game in the tournament.
I don't even think you can really predict the number one seeds. I would think that right now the only two you'd feel somewhat comfortable about might be Kansas and Villanova, but I think that's it. Maryland was said to be on the one line and then lost to Wisconsin, but look what Maryland's done with Greg Gard. I think right now, if I shouldn't say that if I have a vote for, because I do have a vote for. So right now, my number one choice to vote for Coach of the Year is Greg Gard of Wisconsin. Comes in as the interim head coach. Takes a little while to get his bearings. And Wisconsin has now won 7 games in a row. Beat Indiana. Beat Maryland. They're playing really well right now, and he is a big reason why. He's got them organized.